Welcome! It's the end of the year! Yay! It's the end of the year spectacular here at the Nerd News Desk. And as you can see, we're in a different spot. It's the holidays. Things have been crazy. And so, I had to shift some things around. But luckily, I have made my portable podcasting experience thing here so I could move it to a new location to film this episode. I know. I was going to do one last week, and the holiday just screwed everything up. It's a good holiday. I got nothing against Christmas, but it just made it difficult to film, especially with my sister and her whole family being in town and spending time at my parents and all of that stuff going on, time with my wife's family, and then, of course, our family had to have some Christmas time, and so just didn't have time to do a show last week, and I apologize for that. But I like that a lot of you, even though maybe you weren't as interested in the George C. Scott version of A Christmas Carol, you loved the fact that Millennium, a horror show, had a great Christmas episode, and I got a lot of feedback about that, which I appreciated. So, glad to know you guys like that. But we're going to do something, you know, special. It's the end of the year. Everybody does an end of the year wrap-up, so we're going to talk about some of my favorite things from this year. But a quick little moment to think back to 2019 and some of the things that happened this year. I've heard this from a lot of people this year where they said, wow, this year was really tough. And there were a lot of really bad things that happened to them this year. A lot of people seem to have a lot of problems this year. It was really a hard year for a lot of people. But the thing is, when I think back, I hear that every year, right? Like every year is a tough year for somebody. And I think part of it also, the world in which we live with social media and everything, it's so much easier to talk to other people, to tell people about your problems, to hear about someone else's problems, and things like that. So, you know, it was tough in a lot of ways. When I think back on my year, sure, there were a lot of things. We started the year with 3 pets, and now we have 1. Both of our cats had to be put down this year. One because she was having urinary tract issues and just, it was massive surgeries, or, you know, you put the cat down. And then our other cat, she was 18, almost 19 years old. She was probably just having dementia because of her old age, and she had to be put down too. And that was sad. It was sad to do both of those things. And both of those were in the last couple months. And so when I think about this year, those are the things that come to my mind first, right? Because those are the most recent. But when I think back over the entire year as a whole, there were some great things this year. There were some really fun things. There were some really successful things that happened this year. And one of the reasons why I started doing this show in this particular format, whether you're watching this as a video or you're listening to the audio version of this, one of the reasons why I went to this format of show instead of doing more of the tightly packaged type stuff that we've done a lot of in the past was because this to me feels more authentic, more real. This is more of me having a conversation with you. This is more, you know, even if I'm having like right now I've got a cold, my nasal passages are all stuffed up. You can probably hear my voice. It sounds a little different. It's a little gritty and grainy because of my throat is a little sore. My nasal passages are just completely clogged, and I take different medications at different times to try to treat what's been going on with me as far as like trying to get the mucus to stop running and then trying to get the mucus to clear up and then trying to, you know, fight off the fever and all kinds of stuff that's been going on for the past couple weeks. But even though I'm not, you know, fully 100%, I'm still going to sit here and have this conversation with you guys as part of this show. And that's what I wanted to do. That's what I enjoyed about the types of just kind of open podcast type things. And so that's why this show became this. Instead of when, if you go back and look, the Nerd News Desk started as these little video packages, and the idea was I was going to do like these little 5-minute, you know, bursts every time something happened. And as I got into it, I just decided, no, I wanted to be more authentic and more real. And part of that is because something that happened this calendar year. And part of that is the fact that, if I find the right button here, I went to camp. I was on staff at a summer camp this year, which is something I've never done before. I don't like kids. I don't like heat. I don't like the outdoors. I don't like bugs. Yeah, so it wasn't the type of experience that I would normally do. But because I did it, I found it very rewarding working with kids. These are mostly junior high and high school kids. And these were, you know, kids who wanted to be there. They wanted to be there. They wanted to learn. I was particularly talking about technology, how to be safe online, how you're supposed to act and interact online, how to treat others online, how to be safe online with your passwords and the information that you share. A lot of people share way too much on, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, you know, about where they are at all times and everything they're doing. So I you know, worked with these kids. I did it two different weeks, worked with junior high 1 week and high schoolers the next week, and really had a great time, met some great kids, really had a lot of fun, and some interesting stuff happened that week, and just really enjoyed my time there. And part of that was being authentic, being real, just sitting down with these kids and being like, all right, look, everyone makes mistakes, everyone has problems, stuff happens every year. Learn, if you've made a mistake, learn from it and move on, you know? And so, again, that's why we're back to this show. So the end of the year wrap up, everybody does one of these things, and a lot of them, you know, it's, people tend to try to do it one of two ways. Either they find some way to aggregate information throughout the year. Either if they're going to talk about movies, they look at box office or they look at Rotten Tomato scores. If they're going to look at comics, they look, what are the top comics that have sold? If they're going to talk about you know, TV shows, what had the highest ratings or what got the most social buzz, in order to pick these things. Or it goes the other way where it's just opinions. And that's the way I'm going to go. It's just opinions. These are going to be my favorite things of 2019, the best of 2019, so to speak. And you're going to find a lot of stuff on this list that's not on other people's lists. I've been looking.
Sorry, I don't know that.
Okay, and Alexa just decided that, stop listening, to just talk right then. That's interesting. But I looked at a lot of other lists, and a lot of them really seem to be based on more of, even if they were opinionated, they were based more on what was popular. So it's so weird to look at a lot of critics nowadays, especially the professional critics, because they will talk about how great Game of Thrones is and how it's one of the top series, TV series this year. It's on their top 10 list or whatever. And so many people hated it, but it had buzz, right? It had a lot of attention. So they put it on their list. I don't know if that's, you know, trying to, like, bomb the buzzwords type of thing, where they put it on their list just because they know people are going to go, Game of Thrones, why is this on here? And they're going to click on the list and, you know, whatever. I don't know if it's that type of thing or if it's just that a lot of these critics, when something is popular, it just has to be popular. You know what I mean? So, again, these are going to be my opinions. And this is what I personally liked and didn't like. And there are some things that I'm going to have to disqualify. Like, for instance, The Mandalorian is great. I haven't finished it. My family, my kids want to watch it. So when we have time, we all sit down and we watch an episode. But then we have other things to do. So I'm not a binge watcher, generally speaking. I don't like to sit and watch an entire season of a show. I like to get an episode in and then let it simmer, let it work itself around for a while, and then move on to the next one. I don't like to watch them all in order. So that, even though it came out this year and it's complete and whatever, I haven't watched all of it, so I have to disqualify that one right off. Although it's a strong contender because it is a good show. So I'll be kind of fair and open about that. But as far as other things, I've got book, I've got toy, I've got music, I've got movie, I've got TV show, comic book, and I think that's as far as I got. But we'll go through this list, and when I discuss some of these things that I really like, I'm going to discuss why I didn't pick some other things. And so that may kind of help to figure out, why you might like something more and I didn't pick it. And there are just some things that, again, I have to see them. So for movies, best movies, that one was kind of tough for me. But I had to think back over the whole year, and then it became a little clearer. But there was nothing that stood out in my mind immediately. And part of that was just the amount of stuff that's come out, and so much of the movies this year I just didn't care about, and I didn't watch a lot of this stuff. So the first thing we're going to do, though, this is going to be a little bit of a cheat. And that's because the book that I'm going to talk about, it came out technically in 2018, but it came out in England, and it was a small press book, so we didn't actually get it in the United States until 2019. So that's how I'm able to justify choosing that as my pick for the book of 2019. And that is Retrotech from the Nostalgia Nerd. Now, those of you who are not familiar with the Nostalgia Nerd, he runs a YouTube channel where he talks about a lot of old technology, old computers, old video games. But he's also in England. I won't hold that against him, but he is British. And I really like his videos. He does a lot of those tightly packaged videos. It's like a pseudo-documentary. So each one is, 5 to 20 minutes. It might be about an old computer system. It might be about trying to repair a computer system. It might be about a particular video game or the way certain games were coded or whatever. But this particular book that he put together is a whole bunch of old computer systems and game systems. He shows you the system. He shows you, different pictures of it laid out. He talks about some of the top software for each one. Talks about, some of the variations of the different systems. If he's got a look, inside, you can get some cutaways of the stuff inside and some of the top games on each system. And this goes, this is a huge a look back. Let's see, starting with the Magnavox Odyssey and then going all the way through to the PlayStation 2, GameCube, and Xbox. So there's a lot of history. And for me personally, I like being able to every so often go through and look at a system. It's a system maybe I'm not really familiar with, and I'll get kind of interested in it, and I go online and maybe download emulators and try out some of the games and things like that. And so it's nice to have, just a nice, well put together book like this. This is, it could be part coffee table book and part light research, looking up different systems, when they came out and what type of games they had, what kind of type of software, and things like that. So if you love technology, if you love old video games, classic video games, things like that, I highly recommend this book. It's $20. And now it's a lot easier to get in the United States this year. But in 2018, when it came out, you couldn't really get it here. Now you can. So that's my pick for this year. Now, toy of the year, I think is going to be, most people who know me know that this is going to be my favorite toy this year. And there's just no getting around that this is the year for the Tron toys. This is the Walgreens exclusive Diamond Select line of Tron figures. We have Tron, Flynn, and Sark. There's going to be a re-release of the three-pack with Flynn in the alternate red colors, the undercover. Sold as a three-pack through comic book stores, specialty shops. So I will be looking for those as well. But these, you had to hunt them down at Walgreens stores. If you have a Walgreens nearby, a lot of them have, if they've been purchased, they've been restocked by now, so you can find them for a while. They were hard to get. And I do have, I think, four Flynns, four Trons, and three Sarks, I think is what it's come down to. Or maybe it's four Trons, three Flynns, and three Sarks. But anyway, they're highly articulated. They do come with the identity disc. They look really well. And these are not the Kingdom Hearts figures that came out with Tron figures. These are not the same figures. There was some confusion about that early on. These have a lot more articulation and a lot more detail. The sculpts are different. These are, you know, new figures for Tron. And that is, for me, that is one of the best things ever. So yeah, I love these. Got a bunch of them. And I'm going to try to get a bunch more of those three packs that come out with the alternate Flynns in them, even though I'm going to have more Trons and Sarks, but whatever. It is what it is. But so far, these are my favorite. Now, the problem with getting these, though, is that the three different figures were shipped randomly to stores. So basically what would happen is Walgreens gets all their stuff in totes, these plastic totes with the lids open up, and it's just random stuff in there for them to put out on the shelves. What would happen is at the distribution center for Walgreens, they would get a case of these from Diamond Select, and whoever was filling the totes would just open the case, grab three figures, throw them in a tote, send it off to a store, grab three figures, put it in another tote, send it off to another store. So some stores would get three Trons. Some stores would get three Sarks. Some stores would get one of each figure. Some would get two Flynns and a Tron. I mean, it was just, you know, it's random. And they would get three, and then they would have to sell, I believe, two of them before they would get a restock. Some stores had to sell all three before they would get a restock. So if you had a store that had, you know, two of the three, and someone came in and grabbed them right away, then you got restocks early on, some of those stores. But, you know, I would go around town. It took several days for all the different Walgreens around town to finally get them in. You would get them, you know, this store one day, that store another day, you know, wherever. So it took a while, but I was happy to see them, and I really enjoy those figures a lot. And you'll probably see them in the future, kind of peppered in the background of some of these videos, because I just open them up and you know, leave them all over the place. Okay. Let's go real quick. Let's talk about movie of the year. Okay. Movie of the year. I know it's going to be, I don't know. I don't want to say controversial. It's not controversial. It's not controversial, but the movies from the second half of the year, from later on in the year, I haven't been as big a fan of. There are a lot of movies that have come out in the second half of the year, and these are usually, they usually try to keep the better movies for the second half of the year, for the big, the first you've got the Halloween rush, so you get your horror movies out, then you go for the family, the Christmas movies, and then it becomes Oscar season, so the stuff at the end of the year sticks in your mind better. The problem is there weren't a lot of movies from the second half of the year that I particularly cared about. So I had to go back to earlier on in the year. And once I went back earlier into the year and started looking at movies, it became a lot clearer to me what my favorite movie of this year is. And that was Shazam. I didn't actually realize that Shazam came out this year. I was thinking it came out last year because it seems like it was so long ago. But yeah, that was April of this year, and it's a really good movie. It's one of the best DC movies, bar none. The acting is spot on. The Shazam is a character that's not familiar to a lot of people. He's originally Captain Marvel, and a few years ago, DC decided to give up on the name. They just said, it's too confusing. Everybody thinks of him as Shazam. We're just going to go with Shazam. And so they just gave up on the name Captain Marvel, gave it Basically, I think there was some sort of like sharing of the name with Marvel Comics, because originally DC got the name from Fawcett, and there's a whole long convoluted story there. But Shazam was a ripoff of Superman, and so a lot of maneuvering and wrangling. But anyway, none of that matters. It's a character that, because he's so relatively unknown to the average moviegoer and the average, you know, random person out there watching stuff, they don't really know enough to be upset with any major changes, that they were allowed a little more freedom with the character. They were allowed to play things up a little differently and to make it more modern, make it more timely. And it worked. It just worked in being a really good film. All the actors that they got were fantastic, which is tough with kids. Kid actors, really, they're tough sometimes. They're either really good or really cringy. And they did a good job finding a good cast that worked well together. Special effects were great. The story was a lot of fun. A lot of it made sense. It was really well directed. It had good special effects. It was overall just a super, super enjoyable movie. And so for a comic book movie, but also just in general, a good movie. It was just a good film. So that's going to be my film of the year. Now, as far as TV goes, when I was thinking about picking a TV show to be my favorite, you know, TV series of the year, again, I had to disqualify The Mandalorian. But what I saw on most people's lists were, again, shows that typically have a lot of buzz, but are not necessarily overall well-liked. They tend to go for something that might have some popularity to it, but doesn't really rate well. For instance, a lot of people will pick shows like, The Good Fight, which is actually a terrible, terrible show, horribly written, poorly researched show. It's like The West Wing. I know a lot of people like The West Wing. It had snappy dialogue and it was a whole lot of fun, whatever. But when you actually research the things that they talk about, they had no clue when it came to the real law of things, the politics of things, or when they would try to talk about like religion or energy or anything that was like a real... They would just take a talking point and assume that the talking point was factual and base an entire thing off of that talking point instead of actually researching what the things were. So people liked it because it was like, hey, I agree with that because that's the talking point I always use, even though it's not a real thing. It's not factual. And that's one of those type shows. Also, Game of Thrones was on a lot of lists because it was an important show and it was... a popular show, and so it made their shows of the year, but everybody did not like that final season. So you can't really pick that as your show of the year because it was bad. Watchmen is a terrible show. Poorly written, poorly researched, poorly thought out. The reason that things happen just doesn't make sense. They make a lot of illogical leaps in order for things to work. Star Trek Discovery, another terrible show that just doesn't do what it thinks it does. It tries too hard to do some things at the expense of plot, character development, things like that. So, no, that's not going to be my show of the year. So I had to think about, one, what was a show that I enjoyed? But two, what's a show that I can watch again? You know, a show that I actually might sit down next summer and watch these episodes over again. That, to me, is the mark of a good show, right? A lot of times, shows that go into syndication, shows like Seinfeld or Frasier, you can just sit and just watch them over and over and over again, and you enjoy them, and they're great. And by that same rationale, I wanted to pick a show that I really, really enjoyed. Something that I would want to watch over again. And so for me, that made it easy. Once I put it in those terms, it's American Horror Story 1984. I have not watched any of the other American Horror Stories. I don't know anything about this universe. I don't know if this in any way sort of ties in with any of the other ones. I believe it doesn't. I believe they're all just standalone anthology series. But having not watched any of the others, only watching this one, I really enjoyed so much of this series. I enjoyed the characters. Of course, I liked it being the 80s. That made it a lot of fun. Being at a camp, so you had Friday the 13th stuff kind of thrown in there. But it also had a lot of twists and a lot of turns and a lot of interesting other things that it put in there. And when it got to the end, it did a couple of these time jumps into the future to kind of see the legacy. So you got not only this show, but then you got kind of a look at what the sequels would have been down the line, in a way. And I thought that was just fascinating. It was really a fascinating look at the time and these characters and the motivations. And it just had that good slasher movie feel, monster movie stuff going on. So again, this is a show that not only did I really enjoy watching it, but I could sit and watch it again at some point in the future. And so that to me makes it a very top contender, a very important a piece of this year in order to encapsulate what I liked about this year in TV. That's going to be a show that I will go back to and revisit in the future. I'm going to throw this one out there. This seems kind of weird. And it is kind of weird, and so I'm gonna add it. But song of the year, I've heard a lot of people talk about music this year. I've heard a lot of terrible song lists. It seems much easier nowadays for a lot of music critics to talk about the worst songs of the year, some of the worst collaborations and worst songs that have come out. So. Again, I wanted to pick one that I would listen to over and over. Something new that I enjoy listening to, but also this particular song has a meaning for me. Because when I talk about the camp that I did this summer, one of the first week I went, you know, I went because I agreed to go. I didn't really want to do it. And it was incredible. You know, just working with the kids and seeing the things that they're going through and being there for them and helping them out with all this stuff and going through everything. Because, you know, it's much more than, like, I taught my little class, but you're there with them all day, every day, for a week at a time. You really get to know them, and everybody's, you know, authentic, talking, opening up, sharing, going through the stuff. So the second week when I went, I took my camcorder and I made a video. So I filmed a little bit every day, would go home, go back to the cabin at night and edit and add pieces to this video. So then at the end of the week, they could sit down and watch a video of all the things that have been going on that week. And this particular song I used in the background of this video, it's a great song. And it's a song that I've listened to probably a million times this calendar year. I'm still not tired of it. I will still keep listening to it over and over. Fantastic song. And that is Into Happiness from Fantagram. Now, Fantagram is one of my favorite bands. They just have emerged over the last, I don't know, 5 years, 7 years. I can't remember exactly when they first started to come out, but I really dig their sound. It changes a little bit every year. Sometimes they're a little more, I would say, rock influenced. Sometimes they're a little more rap influenced. Sometimes they're a little more electronic influenced. They're willing to kind of play with the sound and experiment and do things that just really make this incredible sound. But one of the things about Into Happiness is that it's a song that talks about forcing yourself to look for the good, for trying to be happy. Going back to where I started this video early on, talking about people saying, oh, this is the worst year I've ever had, and there's so many bad things that have happened this year and whatever. And yeah, that seems to happen every year. And you can either sit there and dwell on it, or you can choose to look for the happiness, to look for the things. Again, when I'm talking about these TV shows and movies and things like that, when I look through the year, there was a lot of crap. There was a lot of garbage. You know, we can talk about Rise of Skywalker if you want to, but I'd rather talk about the happy stuff, the good stuff. And so this is one of those songs that it has a good sound. It's not overtly happy. I would play it, but I don't want to get copyright strikes here. But you can listen to it. It's not a cheery song necessarily, but it's a song about choosing happiness, and choosing to focus on the good, which is, I think, a headspace where a lot of us need to go. And so I really appreciate that, and I like the song a lot, listen to it a lot, and really enjoy it. So, all right, so the last thing we're going to talk about here, and we're going to keep it kind of a short show today, but the last thing we're going to talk about is Comic of the Year. And I'm going to do it by comic series, not a particular issue. And again, there are a lot of books that came out that they went up and they went down. You know, or they started out down and kind of went up. But I was looking for something that was going to be a consistent, good, solid book that I really enjoyed over the year. And something like Doomsday Clock, I had a lot of high hopes when it wrapped up that it was going to be great, and it kind of fell flat, didn't land the ending. There were some books like, I don't know, Detective Comics. Detective Comics was a good, solid Batman book. It had some really great stories, but it also just kind of had some that were there. They weren't necessarily great. They weren't terrible. They weren't really anything special, but they seemed so much better because of how terrible the actual Batman book was. So, you know, I could have gone towards that one, but I didn't really want to. You know, there were a lot of new number one series. I really like the J.J. Abrams Spider-Man series. But at the same time, it's only three issues, and I can't say that it's got necessarily the legs of being a favorite for the year, only having three issues of this ongoing series out. So when I really thought about the stuff that happened this year in the comic companies, and look at things that felt, stories that felt like maybe they would have some impact and some weight, but didn't feel like they have to be the ones with all the answers. Because Doomsday Clock, it has a lot of weight. It has a lot of feel like this is going to be important. And there might be some things down the line where it you realize, okay, well, that had to happen in order for these other things to come out of it. But at the end, it was just not a satisfying conclusion for what that story was building itself up to be. Whereas other series throughout this year, I think, did a really good job of giving stories that felt like they had a lot of weight for the characters that were involved, that were a part of the story, but then also reverberated out through other titles. And so that book is actually going to be Justice League. And Justice League this year, I think, from all of the companies, this is the type of book that it's world building within the book. It's doing things that affect other parts of the DC universe. It's the artwork is good. The story is good. There are some issues that I liked more than others. I don't particularly like the ones that are just focusing on, say, Martian Manhunter and Hawk Girl's relationship. You know, they spent 3/4 of an issue with them having conversations about being together. Didn't really care about that as much. I don't know that I buy into this whole Apex Predator Lex Luthor thing either. But for being a book that is giving you, this is a team of good, this is a team of bad, they're battling each other, and the stuff that they do creates problems throughout the rest of the universe. It makes the story feel bigger. It makes it feel bolder. And there are times when you get done reading it and you really can't wait for the next issue. Now, they killed off my favorite Starman. Because I love that Starman, and he's gone, and he was the one that I grew up with, and I like that character, and I've been buying, actually, those old Starman comics and rebuilding my collection of those, so even though they killed off my favorite Starman, I still like the series. That is my book of the year. If I were to go back to the beginning of the year and pick a title and say, this is the title I'm going to focus on this year and put my interest in, I would pick Justice League, looking back through the year of all the stuff. So if you're looking for something, you want to go back and read something that maybe you didn't read this year. If you haven't read Justice League this year, I would say go back and read this year. In fact, go back, like, I don't know, I think it's a monthly. I don't think it's twice a month. I think it is a monthly. So, you know, go back maybe even 15 issues. It's only on issue, what, 20? Is it even past 30 now? I don't know that it is. Go back to the beginning of the run and just read the series. This series has been a lot more Justice League, Legion of Doom. There's some Saturday morning stuff. Some of it plays out a little bit better than others. Some of it goes a little too far over the edge. But overall, it's been a much happier read than some of the other things that have seemed like they were going to build up to something great and then fell off a cliff. Or because some of these books, like Detective, they switch authors so much that you have a really great story and then you have just like this dead thing in the middle, and then you have another good story, you know, those dead points really pull it down where they bring in some other author to fill in for one issue or two issues, and they're not that spectacular. But so there we go. There we go. The tops of 2019. I know you guys are going to disagree with some of these things. I am losing my voice, so I'm going to have to wrap up this show pretty soon. But if you do want to disagree, feel free to email me, dirt@popculturenetwork.com or dirt@thepopc.net. Twitter @PCN_dirt. Instagram, I think it's also PCN_dirt, maybe. I just opened Instagram for like the first time last night in months. It's tons of messages and stuff, so I posted some stuff and whatever. You can come to Facebook, to the official Pop Culture Network group. You can go to popculturenetwork.com or thepopc.net. You can find this post here if you're not watching this on Pop Culture Network. You can come here. You can leave comments down at the bottom. You can log in for Facebook, and we have a Facebook commenting system where you can post comments on the website there. You can call our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. Again, 217-953-4025. You can leave a voicemail message if you want. Or again, you can just leave a comment here on YouTube. If you're listening to the audio version, I want to thank you for listening to the audio. I know we have people who are downloading the audio podcast on Podbean, on iTunes, and there was some Russian site, I forget, some Russian site has been picking up the MP3s and uploading them there, and I've gotten some feedback from Russians on some of these other podcasts, so it's been interesting. So wherever you are in the world, I want to thank you for listening, for watching. This is going to be the last one, of course, of the year, because there's only a day left in 2019. So when we get to 2020, I think school starts up again on Friday. I'll probably do another show at some point this week, not exactly sure, and then next week we should be back to our normal schedule after all of that stuff. But again, let me know what you think. Let me know what some of your differences are as far as your favorite things this year. I know some of you really like Watchmen. I don't understand why, but fine. Some of you really like Last Skywalker. Rise of Skywalker? Right, that's what it's called. I personally got bored with the movie after like half hour. I didn't even finish it. I didn't go to the theater, but I have a copy. So whatever you feel about any of that stuff, make sure to let me know. But listen, I'm not going to ask you to like. I'm not going to ask you to subscribe. I'm not going to ask you to share the video or to click the bell or to go to my Patreon, which I don't even have. All I'm going to ask you to do is remember this one.
You're watching the best-looking guy on the internet.